Shalom, once again. We have already looked at the impacts and the effects of not having good leaders or having avoided the grace in a leader and the gifts of leaders. We said that leaders are gifts, and once the fellowship are not able to take in all those gifts, they fall into very many problems. They immediately allow the yeast of sexual sin to get in, and they are proud that we discovered that they're not able to solve conflict among the members of the church. And now here we have got another one, danger, where the church in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 20, the church is not able to deal with the former enemies of immorality. Especially, they're not able to solve the problem of a conflict within a believer. You see, we have talked about the conflict between believers, where they were not able to solve a conflict. Do you know that there's always a conflict, what we call intra-conflict? We already dealt with inter-conflict, conflict between believers. What about conflicts within a believer? How does lack of leadership, or not taking or not allowing the grace of a leader to help us in this, to support us, to support the new members? So we are going to look at how this evil of conflict is going to affect us within there. And so we as we look at these, we need the wisdom to deal within the culture. Without a leader, members do not know how to deal with culture. They do not know how to evaluate a culture as they deal with those conflicts that come from a culture. But we are going to look at three things that can help us solve a conflict here within a believer as they relate to the culture. And the first thing is that there are three things that a culture can be positive. Culture is not necessarily bad. It can be positive. So we need wisdom, positive in the sense that it does not really contradict the scripture. The culture is not necessarily bad. Having a name, having a language, having to dress, having to eat certain food, and even food, it's about culture. Having to marry, having to bury, all this about culture. But there's some elements that are negative in the culture. They are called negative elements of the culture. But you see, there are some other, which is actually more, which we call gray area. We have got gray area of the culture, and we do not know how to solve those cases in a culture. But we need to ask ourselves about three questions in a culture so that you know whether you are going to do a few things or not to do them as a member of a fellowship. One, you need to ask yourself, all things Paul says, they are permissible. They are permitted. You can do them. But you are saying, one, are they beneficial for me and for the others? They are gray areas, but these things are permitted. I can do them. But are they beneficial? I think that's a very good way to deal with a conflict in a culture. Are they beneficial? One. Number two, yes, they are permissible. I'm allowed to do that. But are they going to make me a slave? There are things that are permitted and the Bible allows us to do them. But as we continue them, they can make us to be addictive or to be addict. Number three, do the permissible things glorify owner of the temple? Do they glorify God? Do they bring glory to God? And maybe number four, how can a member of the new community avoid sexual sin? We need to know that unchallenged issues of culture will affect a believer within a believer or even between believers and in terms of inheriting the kingdom of God. And that's what I want us to realize here. And Paul a little gets into the scripture where I think we need just to read to understand how we can be able to turn those conflicts as we use the principles we have already looked at. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Yeah, we have just established this. You are allowed, it's permissible. But is everything okay for me? Is it good for me? And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. That's the second one we have already said. You say food was made for the stomach and stomach for food. This is true. Though someday God will do away with all of them both. But you cannot say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. So maybe the other thing that we could have also said here is that some of the things that are allowed for us, some we need to keep asking whether they have got permanency in our lives. It's about food and stomach, but one day God will destroy them. So we need to make decisions or conflicts amongst our lives as a believer based on that. But Paul says here, we cannot say that the body, just the way the food was made for the stomach and stomach for food, we cannot say that the body was made for sexual immorality. No, the body could have been made for sex because as a married person, but not for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. So as we make decisions, it's good to realize that these bodies belong to the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power. Just as he raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So he says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of the parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it with a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man join himself with a prostitute, he become one body with her? For the scripture says, the two are united and they become one. But the person who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. For sexual immorality is a sin against our own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So here we are talking about how to deal with conflicts that comes within our body. And we have already established some criteria. But here, the final thing he deals with is how to deal with the sin that come from the body. And he talks about that the body was not made for sexual immorality. The body was made for the Lord. And we need to honor the Lord Jesus with our bodies. Our bodies are part of his body. That is one of the things. And our bodies, if you are united with the Lord, they become one with the Lord. If they are united with a prostitute, they become one with a prostitute. So we need to make good and godly choices how we are going to unite our bodies and who we will allow our body to be united with. Then he continues to say that the Holy Spirit dwells in our body, and our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God has found it worthy to make his home in us, and our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so we cannot allow any other member to be given to the kingdom of darkness. We need to make choices so that our bodies continue to glorify God in us forever. We also bought at a very high price, and we need to honor God with our bodies. This is making choices to make our body a cleansed place. And so Paul finally says, we need to run away from sexual sin, because the sexual sin is the only sin that clearly affects our body. He says all other sins are outside the body, but the only sexual immorality is that one that is against the body. So we need to realize that we cannot take this body. We need to make choices of what, how to deal with the body and sexual sin. And God is going to help us so that we don't allow the prostitute to join with our body. But clearly, this problem of solving a problem with culture and the culture of sexual culture that is in, that was in Corinth, that is in our culture today, is because of lack of leadership in the church. So may God help us to know how to deal with our leaders, so that we are not gotten into these evils and disorder. Father, we are grateful. Help us to interact with our leaders well, and help us to be able to solve problems and conflicts amongst us, amongst our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.